It's time now for Tiger Talk Overtime.
We need you. We need the fans. We need the Auburn family. We need the staff. We need the players. We need everyone in this building that is involved in our program to buy into our core values to drive this train.
Nobody split. Give the ball up and over and in, I believe.
Baseball pass, front court, Brian Smith, baseline, eight-footer, in and out, no good. Oh, my goodness, they put it down by Porter. Oh, my goodness. Hello, Abbeville, Alabama, a one-handed slam.
Carnell Williams at the tailback. They'll hand it off to Williams up the middle. 25, cuts it inside. 30, 35, 40. There goes Cadillac to the 50, to the 40, to the 30, to the 20, to the 15, 10. Go crazy, Cadillac. Go crazy.
Reach it down, he knocked it away. Ball loose on the deck. Throws it back out. Harper gets it. Harper down the floor. Harper shovels it to Brown for three. Yeah!
I tell you, you ain't going to run to get any popcorn if we keep this up.
I knew we could be competitive in men's basketball at Auburn. I didn't think that championships were necessarily in the cards. Auburn's a special place. I had a special team.
Bryce eyes the bucket, spins it up. In and out, no. Rebound, Washington saved it. Up round is there for three and a quarter. Yeah, baby!
All right.
Auburn leads.
Get back, play some defense now.
We've come a long way. And just grateful for the opportunity. Understand that if it wasn't for Auburn bringing me to be their basketball coach, I never would have the opportunity to realize, obviously, one of my goals as a college coach is to get to the Final Four.
That does it. History has been made. The Auburn Tigers, for the first time ever, are going to the Final Four.
Tiger Talk Overtime is presented by Will2, number one in quality and safe work for industry. To be a part of the show, call the Morgan Bradley Alpha Insurance Tiger Line now at 343-0106. Now, here's your host, Doug Holton.
And good evening, everyone. Welcome into the show, Tiger Talk Overtime on a Thursday night. Glad you're with us to talk some Auburn athletics. A lot to talk about tonight, a busy night on the show. And in just a couple of minutes, we're going to talk with one of the up-and-coming stars of the Auburn basketball team, Chad Baker Mazzara. We'll talk with Chad a little bit about his background and his great play as of late with the Tigers heading into the Georgia game this weekend. And we're also going to talk some football tonight with Brian Brensfield. Although the Tigers are off for spring break for a week, they'll be back in action next week in A-Day coming up on April the 6th. And we'll also visit and talk a little golf with Auburn golf coach Nick Kleiner. The Tigers back from a victory in Pinehurst, North Carolina. And Jackson Koivin, the Tigers freshman, with his first individual title of his Auburn career. Right now, we want to start talking some basketball and welcome into the Morgan Bradley Alpha Insurance Tiger Line, former Tigers Zepp Jasper. And Zepp, great to have you back on the show again. The Tigers looking good this week. A big win over Missouri earlier in the week. The Tigers, the Missouri Tigers, haven't had a great campaign. But your thoughts on the win Tuesday night for Auburn?
I think it was a great game. We got production from all 10 to 11 players scored. Everyone hit the board. It was one of those games that, it was just one of those games that keep you going until we – who do we play next? I think we play –
We got Georgia Saturday.
We got a Georgia game. It was a tune-up game, to get us ready for the SEC tournament because that's going to be crucial, knowing we might be a 2 or 3 seed. I just think the production last night was very good from point guards from 1 through 5. Last night was just one of those type of games.
We're going to talk to Chad Baker Mazzara here in a minute. And I noticed that we're talking about point guards a minute ago off the air, but I noticed that last night a couple times he liked to snag that rebound and play a little point guard himself.
He's one of those guys that, he can get the ball off the rim and run a fast break. He's one of those guys that get the team flowing. They need his scoring. His scoring actually has been crucial these last 3 or 4 games, showing guys that you know, he could lead his team in many different ways also.
It's kind of hard to watch the second half last night. It was pretty lopsided, but I guess that's the beauty of this Auburn team. They have so many guys that can score. They had four guys in double figures and 8 points here and six rebounds here. And there's so many guys chipping in. That's going to be the strength of this team in the postseason, I think.
No doubt. Which postseason is going to be crucial. A lot of teams are going to be, you know, focusing on Janai Broome and Jalen Williams. So we're going to need guys to step up, and guys like Chad Baker-Mazzara is going to be crucial because, you know, he's the he's also an X factor on his team who gets the team going. So, you know, coming down the stretch, he's going to be a key point on how this team is going to win. So I believe it's going to be, you know, one of those things that you never know who's going to get hot on Auburn, but at any game, you know, we need all type of guys from Aiden Holloway, Trey Donaldson, Denver Jones. We need guys like that to step up because coming down the stretch is going to be crucial.
Yeah, no question about it. Chatting with Zepp Jasper, former Auburn Tiger, a little Auburn basketball this evening. And Zepp, want to get your take again on the Georgia Bulldogs. I know we talked last time before the Georgia game in Athens. This time we have them at home on senior night. It's a crucial game, obviously, for Auburn if they want to get in that top four for the SEC tournament. What are you thinking going into Saturday?
Well, I think it's going to be filled with emotion. You got guys who are seniors. You got guys who might go to the NBA. You got guys who might leave. So this might be one of their last times in the Auburn uniform and playing in Neville Arena. I think it'd be one of those games that, you know, we win 10-plus points because it's going to be one of those games. It's going to be a special game. And, you know, it ain't nothing like putting that Auburn uniform on in Neville Arena, you know, for your last home game. So Georgia's an okay team, but also, you know, they're a team that can come in and play pretty hard and play pretty tough. But I think BP had those guys ready and energetic to be ready for this game.
You reminded me a little bit of I was just reading earlier today about Chris Moore, who they did a nice article on him on the website. And his comment was that was the best decision he ever made was to come to Auburn and play basketball at Auburn for Coach Pearl, and how great the fans are and the people are at Auburn. I know you have kind of that same sentiment.
I'm super happy I came to Auburn to play basketball because Auburn will always be like my home, from the fans, from a lot of people. It's just a special place in my heart. You know, it's just like family to me. It's just one of those things, like as soon as I stepped on campus, I enjoyed it. I embraced it. So, you know, for all the seniors and all the guys who are leaving, they're going to always love Auburn. They're going to come back and just feel the joy, feel the love. So it's just one of those type of things. And shout out to Lior, you know, even though he can't come, you know, even though he can't come out there and play, you know, in that game, you know, against Georgia. But, you know, it'd be a special time for him also, you know, just being a walk-on, seeing him grow, you know, with my locker being beside his. He's just a great guy, and you know, I hate that injury happened for him, but you know, it's big thing. I got big things going for Leo, and I love him as a player, as a person, and all type of things.
Yeah, where do you think he goes in the future? That was sad to see him go down the other night and in the last couple of games of his senior year. But where do you think he goes in the future? I know he likes to play the guitar. He's in that industrial design, right? So. Mm-hmm. What have you talked to him about that? What he wants to do?
I think he'll continue to play basketball. No, he didn't work hard, you know, his whole life. So I think he'd be one of those guys. He'd go overseas, like to Israel or something like that. You know, that's always been a dream to go to Israel and play professional basketball. So I think BP would put him in position to go out there and, you know, to help him out with his recovery, his rehab. You know, to get him back on the court as soon as possible, you know, this being his senior year, I think he'd go out there and play basketball in Israel somewhere. So mark my words, I always keep this. I guarantee you he'd be out there in Israel.
Yeah, interesting. We wish him the best, of course. Let's talk about the SEC race a little bit. Interesting happenings on Tuesday night. Auburn wins, which was expected. Florida really took care of Alabama down in Gainesville. The big game, I think, is coming up Saturday with Kentucky and Tennessee. And what I wanted to ask you is, depending on that outcome and the outcome of Auburn, Georgia, how important is that top four double bye for the SEC tournament? How much does that play into your favor when you get into that top four and don't have to play on Wednesday and Thursday?
Well, I think it's pretty key because, you know, you want to get there. You know, top four teams don't play for the first 2 days. Guys on Auburn teams got great personalities, you know, so they're guys who want to get around, go search in the city, go have a fun time. It's in Nashville still, right?
Correct.
You know, they still want to, you know, just enjoy the time, enjoy their teammates. So it's pretty key, you know, having the top four seeds not playing that day, and also getting to walk around the hotel, get to see all the fans, and also go to the game just to check out the teams that are playing when you're not playing on that Wednesday, Thursday. So I think it's pretty key. Right now, I think we're like 2 or 3 right now.
Well, we're right now we're on the outside looking in, maybe 4 or 5. Kentucky is 4 because they beat us. Mm-hmm. We're all tied in the loss column right now. So it's kind of a log jam with 5 losses.
Kentucky got a chance to beat Tennessee for the last game, you know. But who knows? You know, I think if Tennessee wins, I think they're a regular season champion. So either way, they're in the driver's seat. So
the other thing I noticed, Zepp, heading into the postseason, I saw the guys in the locker room last night. I don't know if, or Tuesday night. I don't know if you saw that or not, but they were doing a little pro wrestling deal mm-hmm. with Jani Broom and Dylan Cardwell and those. And KD seemed like he really was a pro wrestling fan, banging mm-hmm. off the ropes from one side to the other. Did you see that?
Yeah, I seen it last night. The guy was just having fun. Getting a win is always tough on the road in the SEC. So, you know, those guys just want to have fun in everything they do. It's always good to see your guys celebrating at the tough road win. No matter what Missouri record is, they're still going to be in. They still have been in every game they have played in most of the time. So, you know, I love that the guys are playing around and just – and also – shout out to Steven, you know, for just, you know, just putting that type of stuff out to the fans, you know, because a lot of teams don't put that type of content out to fans just to see how, you know, teams are doing inside the locker room, even when they win. You know, just shout out to him for doing that type of stuff.
Yeah. So he's the guy that is in charge of the locker room video?
Oh, yeah. He's the guy in charge of the locker room video, without a doubt.
Hey, tell me, finally, Zepp, about the postseason. I know, like in 2019, when Auburn went to the Final Four, it's always important to get hot, shoot the basketball well in the postseason. But the other factor seems like to me that chemistry and talking about the locker room and just how well these guys get along, all of them from top to bottom, it seems, is going to be a big factor coming up here in March.
Well, it's going to be a major factor. You know, in March, it's about which team gets hot. As we all know, FAU last year, there was an underdog team and a lot of guys counted those guys out. You know, Auburn is like I don't know if we're a blue blood. I see a lot of people saying we're a blue blood on the internet, but I don't know. I'm not going to say something I don't think we are, if it's true or not, but, you know, Auburn has had eyes on them for years now, maybe 5 or 6 years now. And, you know, every time a team come up and play Auburn and March Madness are in the tournament, those guys want to beat Auburn because of the name we have had over the years. So it's kind of key to have everybody gelling at the same time, everybody locked in, because, like I say, we're a top 25 program every single year. And, you know, we just got the world on notice that Auburn is a basketball and football school, but also all sports school. Let me change that. So I just put in perspective that I think we should get hot at this time. You know, even if we do lose, say, for instance, if we do lose against Georgia, no one cares. We're going to the tournament anyways, but we should get hot in the SEC tournament. That's when it all counts.
Is it an advantage to go a long way in the SEC tournament? Did you like playing in the SEC tournament, or would you rather be home resting? I know that's a controversial question, but from the inside looking out, what did you guys think?
Truth be told, really didn't matter what we was doing. We just wanted to win, even though we lost last year. But we just wanted to win. We didn't care how we won. We didn't care if we didn't make shots or didn't play defense. We just, as long as we won, that's all we was going to celebrate. Because we know how hard it is to win those games in March. March is the hardest part of the year for college basketball. Because you never know. You never know what a team going to do. This team, it could be one of the worst teams in college basketball in the SEC tournament, come up and beat one of the best teams by having a great shooting night. So that's why it's crucial to always be on your P's and Q's coming in March. And as a player, you know at any time you can get hot. And all it takes is one time to get hot to give you that confidence, to give you that boost.
Yes, they call it March Madness for a reason. Zepp Jasper joining us on the show tonight. Appreciate his thoughts. And when we come back, we're going to visit again with Chad Baker-Mazzara, one of the stars of the Auburn basketball team this year. Stay with us. We'll be right back after a short timeout. Glad you're here on Tiger Talk Overtime.
Welcome back to Tiger Talk Overtime, presented by Will2, number one in quality and safe work for industry. To be a part of the show, call the Morgan Bradley Alpha Insurance Tiger Line now, 343-0106. Now, back to Doug Holton.
Okay, welcome back to the show, Tiger Talk Overtime on a Thursday night, and we want to welcome in to the Morgan Bradley Alpha Insurance Tiger Line a very special guest now of the from the Auburn Tigers, Chad Baker-Mazzara from the Auburn basketball team. And Chad, thanks very much for taking some time out of your busy schedule. I know you guys are about to practice, but thank you for being with us in War Eagle.
War Eagle.
I want to talk some basketball with you, but I wanted to talk first of all about something I think that is special to you. That's the Dominican Republic and your family. Yes. Back home.
There.
Yeah. Tell me a little bit. I see your emblem up there. Tell me a little bit about the Dominican and growing up. And if you could go back there for a day during basketball season this week, what would you do and what would you take people to see?
If I have a day to go back to the DR, I just really just go back and hang out with my mom, dad, and sisters for like the whole day and just probably go out for dinner with them and just spend some good family time. But DR, I don't know, man, like, you know, to me that's home. So like, it's just everything for me is back there. You know, I say family's there, friends are there, everything that I've known my whole life is there. So like, to me, you know, that place has a really special place in my heart.
Mm-hmm.
But like Dominican, you know, it's amazing weather. It's always good vibes when it comes to meeting new people or just like being around somewhere. Going to like the beach is probably like one of the best things you could do. You know, even the ocean water is warm. So, man.
You get into the warm weather, right?
Yeah, a lot of warm weather, you know, great food out there. That's probably one of the biggest things that I miss, the food out there. So,
yeah. Do you like to go out or you like to have your mom's home cooking?
Oh, no, I love my mama home cooking.
Yeah.
Yeah, Sally out here, I got to eat out. But, man, when Mama Dukes came, she started chefing it up, man. I said, Mom, you might have to call back from work that something happened that you can make it back to another month.
What's your favorite dish that she cooks?
There's this Dominican dish called pastelón of plátano maduros. So it's basically like a lasagna, but instead of the pasta, you do smashed sweet plantain as the cover. And oh my God, man, when I'm telling you, you might fight the next dude right next to you for the next piece, man, you would, how good that thing is.
Yeah, yeah. How often would you have that growing up?
My mom would make it to me probably like, because I didn't want to get sick of it. But my mom will make it for me probably once a month or twice a month she'll make it for me.
Mm-hmm. And your mom, I think I was reading, she doesn't speak a lot of English, right?
No, she doesn't.
But her the way that the Auburn coaches treated her when you were visiting was one of the reasons you came to Auburn, right?
Yes, sir. I seen them on their phone trying to have Siri talk to them, translate something in English and Spanish, and that just to me, like, I don't know how many people are going to say that. Many people are just going to be like, oh, she don't speak English and just, you know, leave her on the side. But, like, the coaches were actually trying. Like, they were having, like, full-on conversations with the phone between them. So that, to me, was like, man, they're willing to do that just for my mama. I know they're going to do way more for me than I'm the one who's actually playing for them, you know? So that really took a, like, that really, like, you know, hit me a little harder than I expected. So, yeah, I really appreciate them for doing that.
Yeah. And your dad is a basketball game guy. He played at South Carolina State, I believe.
Yes.
And kind of coached you growing up. Tell me a little bit about him and the influence that he had on you growing up.
He's the reason why I really play basketball. Because, you know, I used to play soccer. I was, like, in love with soccer. And seeing my dad throughout the years of me playing soccer, I could tell that he really didn't want me to play. But the good thing is, like, he never told me. He always showed me love and support. And, like, because of that, he never told me he didn't want me to not play the sport that I love. Like, that's the reason why I really switched to basketball. And plus, I kind of loved there a little bit more basketball. It was a little more fun, too. But, yeah, he really had a big impact in my whole life. You know, he still coaches me through this day. Helps me with a lot of decisions that I make in my life. Like, my dad is really, what people say, the GOAT. For real.
Yeah. What you made the decision to come to the United States to live with your grandfather when you were 17, I think. Tell me a little bit about that. Was that your decision? Did your dad kind of push you in that direction, or how did that come about?
Nah, that was my grandfather's and my dad's and my mom's decision. They talked about it, and then they did ring it to me because I came here. I moved here August 20, 2017. And earlier during the summer, they kind of mentioned something, but it was like, it may be a possibility, but, you know, I ain't paying attention because they didn't say nothing else after that. But then somehow, literally that day, he just comes up to me and he's like, yeah, a week from today, you're living with your grandfather and, you know, starting a new life, basically. So,
yeah. Was that just for the opportunity in basketball, or why did you come?
Yeah, it was just for the opportunity of basketball. He seen something special. Him and my uncle Omar, that lived in the DR, they seen something special in me growing up playing basketball. And, you know, my dad already being from over here, he knows, you know, the routes of college and all that. So he thought it would be best for me to go through the same process he did.
Yeah. Obviously, watching you play, anybody can see your athleticism, your quickness, your length, your shooting ability. I was watching the game the other night, the Missouri game, watched you grab some of those rebounds and take off down the court. I know you're a Lakers guy and you're a Kobe guy, but I told somebody you kind of reminded me of a skinnier Magic Johnson.
Really?
Yeah.
Really appreciate that. That's a compliment right there. Thank you, man.
How much do you like that? Like grabbing the rebound and playing a little point guard. I know you've done some of that.
Well, yeah. So before college, I played point guard almost my whole life. So to me, it's just doing something natural, you know, like I was used to just doing that before. So now it feels even a little better because, you know, coach trusts, like he believes in me that I could, you know, make the right play in transition. And, like, you know, he even had me coming out of ball screens and stuff like that. So that, like, helps me with my confidence, knowing, like, the guys know I could just, you know, grab the ball and they know they don't have to come back and get it. They can just run and I can just push it to them. So it is a good feeling, though, to be honest. It helped me, myself, with my own game.
You've come off the bench a little bit. You've been the sixth man of the year. And now at Auburn, you kind of have progressed to the starting lineup. Do you have a favorite there? Would you rather come off the bench? Do you like starting? What are you thinking now?
I don't know. I did. Somebody asked me this yesterday. I think it was my dad asked me this, which one I like better. And to be honest, I feel like it's two different ways that you can view this. Because, you know, as a starter, I feel like you have a little more confidence in you because, you know, you're starting. You know, your name being called out, you know, you have to be, the first one to throw the punch. I feel like coming off the bench, you get to see a little bit how the game goes, dictate,
you know, you could, I feel like you could dictate a little bit more or see how things are going. So when you come in there, you know, you could do certain things. So, you know, either to slow the game down or, you know, to get you guys in a run. But personally, I always like to throw the first punch. So I'll say starter for real. I like to just come in there and just straight out. As soon as that clock start ticking, just go at them.
You're just under 50% from the field this year. You're about 44 from three-point range and about 88% from the foul line. Where did you develop that shooting touch?
To be honest, I always could have shot the ball pretty good. I actually messed up my shooting when I broke my wrist. So I did break my left wrist like a couple of years ago when I first came here. And that had me
change my whole formation, the way I shoot the ball. And I feel like that really helped me a lot because I really had to like focus on like how to shoot again and like, you know, how to shoot without my wrist to hurt. So I feel like that there itself really like has helped me all the way throughout today. And then obviously putting in the work in the gym, you know, going to take extra shots and, you know, doing live reps with the game, like, you know, in situations that you might be in the game. I feel like that right there really like has helped me shoot the ball. And obviously, like, you know, if you don't have confidence believing that you're going to make it, you know, I don't care how many shots you're going to shoot, probably ain't going to make them. So that is another big thing.
Yeah. Was your dad a great shooter? Did you kind of get that from him or did you kind of develop it on your own?
Nah, my dad and grandfather used to be good shooters back in the day. But I think my grandfather was better than my dad. But I can say I'm better than both of them, even though they might hear this.
Yeah. Well, that probably wouldn't surprise them.
Yeah.
Well, what are you thinking going into the postseason with this team? A lot of depth, a lot of talent. How far are you guys thinking that this team can go?
We really have, I feel like personally, like realistically, I feel like we have a lot of pieces here, which has pretty good. And I feel like we could actually win it all. Everybody that we've beaten has been by double digits. So that's really like something special when it comes to that, because I feel like when you put it together,
it's extremely dangerous. And when we all don't put it together, that's when we fail. So I feel like if throughout this playoff we can stay putting it together every day, every day, every day, I feel like it's going to be really hard to stop us for real.
Yeah. How important is this weekend beating Georgia and getting into that top four for the SEC tournament, do you think?
I mean, it's really big because Coach been saying we ain't planning to lose anymore. And, you know, we haven't had no loss other than quad one losers. So I feel like if we lost, you know, come in there and take them for granted and stuff like that, I feel like it's going to kill a lot of our energy coming to the postseason. So we know that, you know, even though we already beat them once, you know, never underestimate your opponent, especially in the SEC. You know, any given night, anybody can come and shoot the lights out. So, you know, we just got to come out there and just step our foot on the gas and just let it go whenever that clock hits zero for real.
Yeah. I saw that post-game celebration the other night, the pro wrestling. You looked like you were just cheering, but do you get into that, or is that KD's thing?
Nah, that's more KD's thing. I'm like one of the extras. Like if you need like a referee, you know, Dylan hopped in before me, but I'll be like one of the referee guys. But I let them do that show because that's just hilarious. I like to sit water and watch them because I was like, I've never been a team of guys do these things. And, you know, people see me, they think I'm like the only, me and KD are like the only ones who be like really excited, hyped up and doing crazy stuff like that. But like, really everybody on the team be doing that. They just, you know, they probably don't show out there. It's more like reserved from them. But yeah, all these guys really be doing some crazy fun stuff. So,
well, it seems like you guys have great chemistry. Chad, appreciate you joining us. And good luck Saturday. Good luck the rest of the way.
Thank you. Appreciate you, sir. You have a good day and take care of yourself, okay?
Will do. Chad Baker Mazzara of the Auburn basketball team. Lucky to have him join us tonight, and we appreciate him being with us. When we come back, we're going to change gears a little bit and talk some college football, even though the Tigers are off this week for spring break. We'll talk college football, Auburn football with Brian Brinsfield. On the way back, stay here on Tiger Talk Overtime.
Welcome back to Tiger Talk Overtime, presented by Will2, number one in quality and safe work for industry. To be a part of the show, call the Morgan Bradley Alpha Insurance Tiger Line now, 343-0106. Now, back to Doug Holton.
All right, welcome back to the show. Tiger Talk Overtime on a Thursday night. Glad you're with us, and time to talk a little Auburn football now. The Tigers are on spring break, a couple of practices before spring break, and they'll come back and finish it up. And A-Day is on April the 6th this year, so that'll be the A-Day game at Jordan-Hare Stadium. Joining us to talk some football, former Tiger Brian Brinsfield. And Brian, always good to have you with us. I know you've been making the rounds from Disney and all over the place since we last talked.
I did. I went to Disney and got sick. And spent a lot of time in a hotel room looking at Disney, but not actually going. But yeah, I went down there and it was fun. So much better now, and back to work.
Well, tell me, I'm interested. The Tigers are taking, they had two practices, as we mentioned, and they took spring break. When you were at Auburn playing football for Coach Dye, Coach Bowden, did you take spring break during spring practice?
I can't remember that we did that. That just seems so weird to start, stop, and then come back. I can't imagine Coach Dye allowing that to happen or scheduling it like that. I do know that there were a lot of guys that did go down to Destin, Panama City for spring break, though, and came back really, really tan and had to take some naps. Sunburned probably more than tan, and had to take a lot of naps and hydrate after spring break. But yeah. But no, I don't remember that. That seems really odd to start, stop, and then come back.
It does to me, too. And I was thinking about Coach Dye, you know, what he would say for something like that. You know, we're not going to take off for spring break unless even if everybody else takes off for spring
That's
break.
Right.
Yeah.
That's exactly right. So. I do remember it was fun to come back after Christmas, and you know, you come back we were on quarters back then.
Yeah.
And you come back after the quarter and after not lifting for a while, and you do squats for the first day or two, and they'd load you up with weight, and you couldn't even go, you couldn't walk up the stairs. I remember having to kind of scoop my way on my rear end up those stairs in Sewell Hall because your legs hurt so bad. But yeah. No, I don't remember us taking a break.
I kind of find it funny. I know it's an off week for Auburn football this week, but all of the stories and all of the podcasts, like I sent you one or two.
Yeah.
They keep talking about who's running with the ones and who's running with the twos. And we've only had 2 days of practice and they're not even in pads yet. And it's spring practice and the new guys should be in high school now. So,
right.
You know, it's just kind of strange to me. Like, does it really matter who the ones are, the twos are, as long as they get their reps? Maybe the quarterbacks matters a little bit, but other than that, I don't see that matters.
No, cause I don't think they're getting their timing down. They're, you know, especially these young guys, they're just being evaluated. And of course they were evaluated while they were recruited, but they're getting on campus and they were big fish in a small pond. Now they're low man on the totem pole and having to go through some of that stuff. But no, I don't think it matters who's first and who's second, because the cream's going to rise to the top. You're going to find it out whether you're a third string, fourth string, first string. You can catch the ball if you're a receiver and run around, or you can't. So maybe, like you said, the quarterback getting some good reps, but and maybe the further into the spring, going into the summer, maybe it matters a little more, but right off the bat, no. It's just it's getting reps however you can get them and what order you can get them.
Right. And the coaches are playing around and seeing who fits where and experimenting and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. It's not like Peyton is having to really get his timing down with Cam, who's coming in as a freshman. That comes a little later after spring. A lot of work on their own. They'll go out and throw on their own, and get timing down and see the speed of the receivers and how they run the routes. And then really into summer workouts, that's when all that takes place. But spring is really, at least it was for us, a time to knock heads. And it was just a grind it out. Now it may be a little more structured now, but especially with Coach Dye, it was just a time to, because you had a summer to rest and recuperate. So it was a time just to beat the ever living crud out of each other. Yeah. So anyway,
two topics I wanted to hit with you though, the quarterbacks we mentioned, Peyton Thorne, obviously. Coach Freeze mentioned after the bowl game, it's an open competition for quarterback. What do you think the coaches are thinking right now? Kent Austin, Derek Nix, Hugh Freeze. What are they thinking about the quarterback situation? And what does Peyton have to do? And how long does it take them to figure out this spring, this is our guy, or we're not going to go with him?
Yeah. I won't say it was a mistake for him to say that. I wonder if he wishes he could take it back, just because you don't know what's going to come in. I mean, we saw the who was the quarterback. He was actually behind Robbie, who came in and really did well in the bowl game, and the receivers really responded to him in the bowl game. I can't think of his last name.
Hank Brown.
And so you never know how much he grows, maturity, arm strength, knowledge, in an off season. So, you know, I think it was, in my opinion, it was probably premature, but did he maybe want to keep Peyton Thorne on campus? Is there something we didn't know? Was Peyton saying, hey, listen, I'm going to leave if I'm not first string. And he said, okay, you're first string. But spring really is an evaluation process, especially for, the quarterbacks. And, you know, we didn't have that when I was there. Stan was the incumbent, and I don't think Patrick was going to beat out Stan. I don't think Damian was going to beat out Patrick in 94, in 95. It was that they were the incumbents. They had had great seasons, the 93 season and the 94 season, and there wasn't really a reason to replace, but I don't think that's the situation here. I mean, Peyton had showed some inconsistencies and some faults. And with decision making, maybe, and but now we've got a new offensive coordinators, and maybe the route tree is different. Maybe the putting together of the different routes, you know, getting more guys open that we didn't have last year. Maybe that'll help Peyton. I don't know.
Yeah, and they want to see how he does with new receivers, different receivers, correct, more talented receivers. But certainly, by the end of spring, I would think they want to know the answer to that question.
Absolutely. Going into summer, and they'll have June and July to kind of assess the spring, see some summer workouts too. But then going into August, you need to have your mind pretty much made up. I will say this and give some encouragement. Patrick did say that Cam is probably the best receiver that Auburn will ever see or has seen in the past. And that goes, you know, with we've had some good ones. Yeah. Terry Beasley, obviously, when his passing and condolences to his family and Frank Sanders and, you know, a bunch of good receivers.
Yeah.
And he said Cam will be the best out of all of them.
That's a pretty impressive comment. A lot of people, of course, are talking about Cam in practice, and you see the videos of him with the jug machine and catching the balls with one hand or whatever. But a very talented guy who a lot of people, I mean, you know how we've got 24/7 media now, and you got to talk about something. So, and I guess, you know, Cam may start next year and he may be the guy next year, but it's a lot of pressure on a guy that should be in high school still.
That's right. And he'll have to prove it. I mean, he'll have to come in, and you got to back all the hype up. You got to catch the football and you got to contest the 50-50 balls. You got to take some balls out of the air that shouldn't have been taken out of the air. And that takes talent, but this is a guy who Patrick, who coached Calvin Johnson at Georgia Tech. He was the wide receiver coach for Calvin Johnson, and Calvin Johnson's one of the best receivers ever in the NFL, and he put Cam over Calvin.
Brian Brensfield talking about his good friend Patrick Nix and his comments on Cam Coleman, one of the most talked about players in Auburn spring practice. We'll talk more football coming up next week as we get ready for A-Day once again on April the 6th. Appreciate Brian Brensfield, former Auburn Tiger, always for being with us. When we come back, we're going to wrap things up and talk a little Auburn golf with Coach Nick Kleinert as the Auburn men's golf team has just returned from Pinehurst, North Carolina, with a lot of hardware. We'll talk about that and the Tiger Invitational coming up next week. Stay with us here on Tiger Talk Overtime.
Welcome back to Tiger Talk Overtime, presented by Will2, number one in quality and safe work for industry. To be a part of the show, call the Morgan Bradley Alpha Insurance Tiger Line now, 343-0106. Now, back to Doug Holton.
And welcome back, everyone. Final segment of Tiger Talk Overtime on a Thursday night. Glad you're with us. Time to talk some Auburn golf with Auburn men's golf coach Nick Kleinert as he returned back to Auburn. The Tigers victorious at the Pinehurst Intercollegiate this last week. And also Jackson Coyven, the Auburn freshman, took home individual honors, his first individual championship as an Auburn Tiger. And I asked Coach about last week and what his impression was of the Auburn Tigers.
Well, I think, you know, starting with Jackson Coyven, I mean, he's been a guy that has played incredibly well for us this year, arguably the best freshman in the country. And, you know, Doug, he's been pushing for a win. You know, he's knocking on the door every week. And I think he just finally got over the hump and let it come a little bit more to him instead of trying to press and force it. You know, always just him, just keep playing well, keep getting better. You know, good things are going to happen. And I think it did happen this past week. But it's definitely something for him to continue to gain confidence and build on, and something to look forward to moving, you know, in the future. And as far as the team goes, I mean, we didn't play like exceptionally well at times. I think all the teams could say that. I mean, Pinehurst number two is not the easiest track. You know, those fairways are super, super narrow, and the ball rolls into the love grass. But I thought our guys were tough. I thought they played for each other. I thought they hung in there. When it mattered the most, they hit some really, really good shots. And, you know, we had another freshman shoot, you know, 69 the last day, and I was really proud of him, Caden Pope, and, you know, to help the team out and get a W.
I know that was a little bit of a special experience for Jackson going back to North Carolina and getting that win. I know he was only in North Carolina for a year or so, I think, is in high school, and before that on the West Coast. But it has to be pretty special for him to go back there and compete and get that victory in what we'll call his home state.
Yeah, I would agree. I would agree. And it's always special for me too, being back in my home state, and a place that I went and used to pay $50 to play a lot of golf was number two. I don't think you can play one hole for $50 anymore. but no, it was really special for Jackson. I think his mom and dad, you know, being there and getting to watch and for him to come out victorious.
And for you as well, I guess, going against the Demon Deacons, your alma mater.
Yeah.
I'm sure you've probably done that several times now, but it's gotta be a good feeling to come away with a victory.
Well, they're hard to beat. You know, Coach Haas does a great job. He's a historical program, and I love my alma mater, and they helped me propel to where I am today. And however, you know, I'm an Auburn Tiger now, and it's always a pleasure to compete against them and obviously come out on top.
Yeah. Where do you think this team is right now? Are they on track to what you were thinking for the spring and competing for all the marbles here in a couple months?
You know, I think, Doug, that's a great question. You know, Chris and I, Coach Williams and I were talking about it last night on the phone. And, you know, I just got off the phone with Coach Alexander, too. And, you know, we need some guys to play a little bit better. You know, we need a little bit more production, I think, in that 4, 5, 6 spot. You know, I think some of the guys are pressing. They're working really, really hard. Sometimes I worry that they may practice too much. And then you get a little bit more rest and take care of themselves. But you know, these kids are wired to compete and try to play professionally, and you can't fault them for that. So my message is be stay together, keep working, you know, keep chasing your dreams and just get some rest. You know, we got to take care of our bodies. And we gave them the last couple of days off just to kind of recharge and do their own thing, which I think they all need.
And in the beginning of next week, you have the Tiger Invitational presented by Jason mm-hmm. Duffner. I guess we'll see Jason out there next week.
I think so. He's playing Puerto Rico this week. So, I think he'll get back on Sunday night or Monday. Hopefully, he'll play well this week and get back on Monday sometime.
Yeah. And you have a chance, I think, to play two teams in the field next week. Is that right?
We do, which is fantastic. Actually, our next two tournaments, we're going to play two teams at home and then in Wilmington, our next event at the end of March, we'll get to play two teams. So I think that'll help us kind of decipher, you know, who our top six players are and kind of narrow the list down and get ready for postseason.
Well, I know you guys get used to it, but traveling around and playing all these great courses, I hope the guys at Auburn appreciate that and appreciate you with going to Cypress Point and going to play Pinehurst number 2 and Las Vegas and Hawaii and Scottsdale. It's a pretty good place to be a Tiger right now.
It's not bad. I do. I think, you know, we always talk about gratitude. And I'll say, I think all of our guys are very, very grateful. They're really good at writing thank you notes. And, you know, just getting to play to places like that. Don't take it for granted. Because when you turn professional, unless you're on the PGA Tour, it's not the same.
The thoughts of Nick Kleiner, the head men's golf coach at Auburn. The Tigers have been ranked number 1 or 2 most of this year and hoping for better things coming up in the next couple of months. That's about all the time we have for tonight. Thanks to our guest tonight, of course, Zepp Jasper and Chad Baker Mazzara talking some Auburn basketball, Brian Brensfield on Auburn football, and of course, thanks to all our great sponsors who keep us on the air. Thanks to Steve Stanley for producing us, and until next week, Doug Holton, War Eagle, everybody.